halfway through a presentation in the Nautilus Lounge on The Search and Discovery of Sir John Franklin's Lost Ships. Bernier is the expert running the investigation for Parks Canada. During the next couple of days, he proposes to lead a visit to the site of the Erebus, where many of us, as many as wish to, will go snorkeling over the site. Now, while outside the wind gusts above 50 knots, gale force, he talks about Parks Canada search operations over the past 8 years. The hunt for the ships dates back almost to 1845, when Franklin disappeared into the Arctic with the Erebus, the Terror, and 128 men. Now, Bernier reviews the unprecedented search, driven at first by the Royal Navy and the widowed Lady Franklin. He highlights the contributions of Inuit testimony as relayed through such explorers as Dr. John Ray, Charles Francis Hall, and Frederick Schwartke, who relied on interpreters William Ulibuk, Takulituk, Tukulito, and Ipirvik, Ibyarbing. Bernier explains that these accounts gave us an area but did not establish a location. That is why the Canadian search, which located Erebus in 2014 and the Terror 2 years later, required so much time and energy. Now, in September 2017, the storm rages unabated into late afternoon. And when Bernier finishes presenting, he hurries up onto the bridge to confer with the captain and Adventure Canada expedition leader Matthew James, M.J. Swan. None of them like it, but geography is having its way with history. Geography is manifesting as ice, heavy seas, and gale force winds, while history is bidding to extend the narrative of the Lost Franklin expedition by bringing adventure tourism to the wreck of the Erebus. To that end, we are sailing with a full complement, 197 passengers, 124 ship's crew, and 37 professional staff. These include Inuit culturalists, medical doctors, a marine biologist, an archaeologist, two professional photographers, an activist filmmaker, a seabird biologist, a botanist, a singer-songwriter, a team of videographers, two expert divers, and an author-historian, yours truly. At this point, I have been voyaging with Adventure Canada for 10 years, leading excursions and giving talks about exploration history. This time around, sailing out of the Northwest Passage, we expected to board the Ocean Endeavour on Canada's Arctic coast at the northwestern edge of Nunavut, more specifically in Kurilutuk at the mouth of the Coppermine River. Heavy ice cut short the preceding voyage, however, and so, with about 200 others, I flew 270 miles to Cambridge Bay and embarked there. The plan now is to sail through a narrow channel to anchor in Wilmot and Crampton Bay off the Adelaide Peninsula, roughly 300 miles away. In groups of 30, passengers will take a 40-minute Zodiac ride to an island near the Erebus site. There, in a collection of heated tents, we will meet underwater archaeologists and Inuit guardians and elders flown in from Joa Haven on King William Island, the township nearest the site. I am especially excited to see Louis Kamukak, my old friend and fellow traveler. From the designated island, having relinquished any instruments that can record geographical coordinates, we will ride to the Erebus site in Zodiacs. There, while some people go snorkeling above the wreck, others will view the site from Zodiacs using viewing buckets, and still others will watch on screen as an ROV, remotely operated vehicle, visits the wreck. Maybe we will be present when divers surface with documents relating to Franklin's final expedition. Who can say? That's the plan. Geography insists on a different scenario. As the ship sails toward the channel, as narrow as half a kilometer, the wind blows 30 to 35 knots, gusting to 40, and the swell reaches 1.5 meters. Swan says later that if the wind had dropped to 15 or 20 knots, he stood ready to make an attempt. Instead, fog engulfs the entire region. At evening briefing, Bernier says he arranged for a twin otter to fly people in from Joa Haven, among them Louis Kamukak. But the pilot would need at least 1,000 feet of visibility, and that does not exist. At the Inuit Guardians campsite, which comprises five tents, three of those tents have been blown off. Somebody asks, it might be me, what about lingering in the vicinity for a couple of days to wait out the storm? Speaking from experience, Bernier responds that these wind and wave conditions will have stirred up sediment so badly that at best the wreck will become